You are listening to Indie Soul Rhythms with Moochie Alfonso.
It's good for us. And it's good for me, yeah.
The show that brings you the very best in Indie Soul. It's probably the grooviest show on the planet.
Today's guest is Michelle Yvonne, truly inspiring artist who entered the music industry at such a young age. In today's conversation, we're going to dive into her early career, her cultural background, how it has shaped her sound, her creativity, and also maybe talk a little bit about industry insights. Michelle, welcome to Indie Soul Rhythms.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. Hi, everyone.
Amazing, amazing. Good stuff. So we're going to jump right into it and go right to the beginning, looking at your early career.
Okay.
So actually what I'm going to do is really start really right at the beginning, because we've had this conversation before. A year ago. In our last conversation, you told me you started your musical career at the age of 13.
Right. Yeah. Officially.
And one thing that I didn't ask you then was that at that age, 13, how did you decide that music was the right route for you? And what was it about music that made you think this could be a career?
Oh, my gosh. It just always felt right. And it didn't even feel like that was, I always knew that I would do something in music. It just, even as a child, I knew that I would do something in music.
Right.
And when the road started crystallizing itself out that there was a possibility of going into this direction, to me, I just, no questions asked. It was just, let's start walking this path. I just knew that this was my path. So I don't know, maybe I just had this inkling beforehand. I just knew, you know, some people just know. Yeah. Some people know they'll be a police officer when they're three, when they get their first police car, or, you know, something like that. And I think it was, for me, just the way I felt about music, I knew that I would have to do something in music. So yeah, you start young, but as it's going, you don't even realize how young that is until you look back and you're like, wow, I started so young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so what were some of the biggest lessons that you probably say you learned at such an early start?
Well, you have to learn very early not to take anything personal, even though sometimes it feels very personal, because I mean, there's a lot of rejection in this industry. Even when you're a kid, people are maybe a little bit more careful when you are younger.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still tough, and you will have people that will just tell you how it is. Everything from people just not liking you because they don't like your hair color, or they don't like, the way you smile, you know? So you have to learn to get really tough. But one lesson that I took with me that my producers hammered into me, my first real legit producers, they said, be nice to people on your way up, because everybody falls. And because it's such a you deal with a lot of flaky people. Not a lot of people are going to catch you when you fall, because you're no use to them, you know, when you're falling. But if you're nice, maybe one or two people might stop your fall. You know what I'm saying? So I've always done that. I've tried to move through the industry just authentic and just being a good person and being honest, you know?
Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah. Yes. I think that was a big lesson that was hammered into my brain from the beginning. And I've just taken that with me. Be honest and be true and be nice.
Amazing. And why I ask these questions is because I know that there are a lot of people who may be thinking, they want to go into music, and probably they're still like in their early teens, and I think it's a lesson for them to learn. That's why I thought it was an important question to ask.
No, it's so important because we live in this era of there is always, and it's an industry where a lot of fake it till you make it mentality, but then some people will bring in this diva-esque attitude, which, you know what? Trust me, 100%. I am a diva at times, but not diva in a mean way. You do not have to step on people
Right.
to get to where you need to go. You can set your standard 100%, always set your standard, but you do not have to kill to get there. And I think if you keep that in mind, you're already on a good way.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Just thinking about your cultural influences, being African American and living in Germany, how has that shaped your sound and creative outlook?
Well, my music influences are really primarily, I'm just going to say, from the American, even some of the British soul. Those are my primary influences. I was actually, when I started singing, on the road to do musicals, and I was trained classically. That was a fantastic base to have, and I do listen to everything under the sun. So I will also listen to classical music and jazz and sometimes just random Renaissance chansons, things like that. But my main influence really comes out of the pop area, pop R&B, soul, funk arena. So I'll credit more of that to my dad's side, to this American side. My mom, the German side, my mom listened to a lot of pop, like Boy George or George Michael and things like that. So, but also still falling kind of that American style. So I think maybe just being more open, the two cultures coming together and just having more of an open ear for all music.
And how do you find the balance between honoring the no nostalgia and staying fresh in today's music landscape? Listening to some of your music, it's got that like 80s groove to it, but it
God, love
still
it.
sounds modern.
How do I find the balance? I think it's just combining everything that I like and just hoping that it comes out balanced. I never know how a song will come out until it's absolutely done, but I think it's just my signature. I think that's how I think, that's how I write, and that's just how they start forming, which means that I have defined my style. That's good. I know who I am, and you can hear who I am when I'm writing. But, I will always listen to these old school jams, but I have an open ear for what's out there and what's new. So they just end up kind of combining and meshing because we always draw inspiration from everything that is around us. So I think that.
Sorry. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
Because I was going to say, so how do you manage to kind of keep your it, because your voice remains consistent. I've listened to a lot of your music and it may be different genres, but your voice remains consistent when you like you just said you want people to know it's you. How do you manage to do that? Because I think when you're singing soul and then you do like a pop song, sometimes, artists come out a little bit, they sound a bit different, but your voice sound consistent. How do you manage to do
Oh, that is a journey.
that?
I don't think I really found my voice until I was in my going into my mid-30s. That is when I think I really found just the tone, the color, everything. I just knew who I was. There was really no imitation anymore. Because I think a lot of singers, because we're listening to our favorites and whatever, and we try to mimic that, we have like little pieces of them in our voice.
Right.
But sooner or later, it's going to just start crystallizing itself out. Especially, I think when you're writing your own songs and you're coming up with your own ideas, I think that gives more room for your real voice to come out. I think when you listen to me, you can hear that I listen to Michael Jackson. You can hear that I listen to Prince. Like you, it comes out in things that I do because obviously I grew up imitating them. But I've built it into something that is my own. And I think that came with writing my own stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And have you ever had to do something, a project where you had to kind of step out of your comfort zone?
Yeah, just yeah. It was this something that I'm not usually active in. I was asked to be on a blues album, and I wasn't even going to do it because I was the guy hit me up. I was in between doors, is what we would say here in Germany. Like I was on my way out to go somewhere, and I said, "Well, when's your deadline?" And he goes, gives me the deadline, and I'm like, "Well, I can do it when I get back."
Right.
Was the day of the deadline. And then as I was gone, I was like, oh, I'm not really going to do this. I don't think I have time for it. And it's not really my genre of music. And then I came back and I said, you know what? Why not? I'm going to do it. So it was day of deadline, wrote some stuff, sung it, sent it off, didn't think about it anymore. And then that was the project that was nominated for a Grammy.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, you just never know. So, don't say no. Sometimes you just shouldn't say no. Sometimes you have to, but sometimes you really shouldn't. And I'm glad I didn't there.
Right. So the song that got nominated for the Grammy, how did that impact your career?
Well, it's just so crazy because I wasn't expecting it at all. But of course, everything changes once you have Grammy nominated in front of your name. Oh, it just and it wasn't even about winning because this was my first time being on a nominated album. The entire album was nominated for Grammy. And it just opens new doors because new people are aware of you. You're meeting new people, you're standing in new rooms. It just you're just kind of going up the elevator, but it was such a weird elevator ride because I wasn't expecting it. And then the day that the nominations were announced, I wasn't even really paying attention because I didn't put anything up for a nomination. And yeah, and then all of a sudden the elevator just kind of starts like moving. And then it just, yeah, new people, completely new people start, hitting you up about projects and jobs and whatever. It's crazy, but I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. It is the best kind of crazy.
So in a sense, it opens up doors, right?
It opens up doors 100%.
And I was just thinking about we've just talked about that Grammy nomination. And that's a career achievement, I would say. Whether you won or not, but being nominated, it's a big thing.
It is
And
huge.
I'm just thinking about you've worked internationally. How has your performance in different countries shaped your perspective on the music industry?
It's interesting to see how musicians are received just internationally and in different countries. I feel in some countries, like musicians are almost like they're really, really respected. The people respect the arts and they understand the work that goes into it, so you feel extremely appreciated.
Yeah.
And then there are some countries that sometimes you just think, and I'm not going to say it's not the countries, it's just people that you run into. And sometimes it's maybe might be a little bit of the mentality when people just don't understand how people can do music for a living. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they don't get it.
Right.
And I'm just not a fan of having to explain why I do what I do because somebody doesn't understand how one can do something that they love as a career. Like some people just can't put that together. You know, sometimes you get the comment of, I used to do music, but then I had to do something real.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just sitting there like, yeah, it's pretty real. And this is what I do. It seems quite real to me. So,
Yeah.
yeah, you know, like that. But in the end, people love music. They love coming together. And if they come see me, they'll have a good time. So usually I am more so around the positive vibe type people. Yeah. But it always shapes you. Every experience, every performance, everybody that you run into, it inspires you. You know, a song might come about, you just might move differently in the world. I just take it all in wherever I am.
Amazing. So, you are a recording academy. You have a recording role, a recording academy role, as a voting member.
Yes.
How do you view your responsibility in shaping the future of the music industry?
Okay. That's a great question. And I think that that has been a question on the table of the Recording Academy for a while, with this new CEO, Harvey Mason. He's brought in a lot of changes and brought in a lot of diversity into the academy now because it used to not be that way at all.
Yeah.
Diversity and just from women to POC and just everything. And so it's very important to be a voting member, to have the honor of being a voting member because you are, yeah, essentially just helping shape, in what direction music is going, maybe even, future of where it could be going, like, because you're introducing new sounds, because only the Academy members are the ones that can, submit music. So I'm always on the lookout for great music that I can submit as well. Plus, you discover so much music going through and listening to then all these people with, because it starts with the 4-year consideration round.
Right.
So that's where you're just listening to just so much, like any kind of music under the sun. But at the same time, I can only vote. And there's these main categories like Song of the Year and, Album of the Year. Everybody votes in that. All members vote in that. But in the end, I can only vote in the categories that I'm active in. So I vote in like electronic, soul, and sometimes jazz, but really pop, soul, electronic, that's where I move. But there's just so much out there, and it's just listening, 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 and
Yeah.
then really doing your best to pick what you feel is fresh, is well made, and just deserves to be on that stage. But there's so much out there, and there's just not a lot of categories in the end. It's 95 categories. And yeah, and I can vote in like three.
Wow.
You
I
know
suppose
what I'm
it's
saying?
yeah, I suppose it's like radio because you get, so much music sent to you
Yeah.
and you only have a 2-hour segment where you can play music. So,
Right.
like in a week, I can receive, close to about 100 tunes. And then you have to pick about 40 out of that that you can play.
Exactly.
And people don't understand when you don't play their song, they think you don't like it, or but there are so many constraints. And what I'm finding as well with a lot of the new artists, the independent artists, they're so expressive that most of the music that they're putting out there can't be played on radio.
I get that too. Or you have people, they're putting out real great quality things, but
Yeah.
it sounds exactly like another artist. It's
Yes.
not its own thing. So I could get like 20 new disco tracks and they're all really cool and I love listening to them all, but they can all sound the same. And then there's just one
That
that
stands out.
itself out and you're like, okay, this I'm gonna put in my pile to maybe move on. And that is pretty much how it goes. You just start categorizing them in these little piles. That's how I do it. It's obviously not how everybody does it. But
Yeah.
I just, start moving them kind of around and say, this is my pile. I'm going to listen to this again. And I really like this, but not this time because it's just not different enough, or it's not saying enough, or it's hard, it's difficult. And I mean, with you, like you said, you get about 100 songs a week. Every week you get 100 songs, so you can't go back to the songs that you received the week before
Yeah.
or the week before that. You keep moving forward,
Unless if a track actually stands out and
right?
keeps playing in your mind, then it kind of stays on your playlist for a while.
Right,
But
for sure.
then there's that pressure that there's more music out there that people are sending in, and it gets a bit tricky.
Right, I 100%.
Yeah.
I get
And how does one get to become a voting member? What's the criteria? Do you apply for it? What's the whole process?
you cannot apply until two industry people that are members recommend you.
All right.
Have to be recommended. The Academy then looks at these recommendations, and then if that works out, then they will send you an invitation to apply. So then you apply for membership to the Academy, and then they go through and then they vet you and they vet your career. So you have to pretty much just everything that you're doing, because you have to be active in
Yeah.
the American music industry in order to be a voting member.
Wow.
So you have to be active, putting out music, making money with music. You are, that's your job.
Yeah.
And I've been active for quite a while, so.
I'm asking all these questions because I want the listeners to actually understand who you are. And, as a musician, and just like a Johnny Come Lately, and but that you've got real history in music.
Oh gosh, of history. We're not going to talk about how long that history has been. Okay, but yeah, I've been around, for a little bit. Okay.
No,
But
we won't get into that. We won't get into that.
I started early though. So I mean, I have like a lot of years under my belt, but I've been doing it professionally since I was, 12 going into 13,
Yeah.
years old. So yeah, and being part of the Recording Academy, it was just weird how it happened because I wasn't expecting that either. I received one recommendation in November of 22,
Right.
and it was completely out of the blue. And then I didn't know anybody else that could recommend me or that maybe I could ask. I just was like, okay, we'll make it a 5-year goal, but if you don't get recommended in a specific amount of time, the other recommendation expires.
Right.
So I was just like, I don't know anybody, so I guess it's just going to expire. And then right before the deadline on my birthday, once again, out of the blue, I get recommended by someone that I've never met. I didn't
Wow.
know who it was. He just knew my music. And he said, for your birthday, I'd like to recommend you to the Academy. And I was like, okay, this is meant to be.
That's huge. Yeah.
So that was cool. And then I had to apply, and then you just sit there and you wait for them to say yay or nay, and they said yay, so that was cool. And when you're an Academy member, you are invited to the Grammys, so you can go because not everyone can get into the Grammys. Only Academy members can go to the Grammys.
Wow.
Right.
So even the audience.
Right. Exactly. It's only
Wow.
Academy members and industry people. So obviously the labels will be there with their artists and, things like that. But yeah, it's not an open event. Like nobody can buy tickets. Only Academy members can.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Talking about your versatility in media, you've contributed to TV, film, commercials, and more. How does your creative process shift when you're working across these different mediums?
Right. It definitely shifts, and it shifts just with where my power lies. I'm going to say the power shifts.
Right.
It's usually with if you're doing something, anything for TV or a commercial, you have a lot of people making decisions with you.
Right.
Okay, so and sometimes it's not people that are musicians. So there's a lot of compromise. I'm just going to say, and a lot of working toward a goal together, because sometimes people you have to explain sometimes that what people are picturing and envisioning is sometimes not even possible.
Right.
But they don't really understand that because they don't do what you do. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard. It's hard writing for TV and commercial and stuff sometimes. It really is. Sometimes you have a song and they just like it.
Right.
And then it just is taken. Like for example, when I brought out You Got Me Good, it was just uploaded to a sync catalog and it was picked up for Alaska Airlines Super Bowl commercial.
Right, okay.
And that was no extra doing anything or whatever, but I've worked on other commercials where I built from was hired to build a song from the ground up. And that's where you just have a lot of people. There's a lot of sending back and forth, and then it's not approved until right before it gets filmed, 5 minutes before it gets filmed. I remember I did something for a popular coffee brand, and my band was in this commercial as well. And it did not get approved until a couple of hours before we were due to shoot the commercial.
Right, okay.
Right. So before we walked out onto the set to do the filming of the commercial, that's when the song, then final version, was approved.
Wow.
Right. So that gets pretty stressful. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like I say, the power just kind of shifts. I like doing sync because I'm just writing my songs and then I put them out there and then people can say, hey, I want the instrumental or I want the vocal or I want the entire song. And that's just very easy because I'm writing anyway.
Amazing. So let's look at your recent projects and your have a bit of personal reflection. Of all your projects, which recent release or collaboration has been the most personally meaningful to you, and
Oh, that's a hard question.
why?
I because all of them always mean something to me at the time, Of course, the more you hear them, that always then changes. But God, I can't pick one. I just really can't. I love Silk City. I love the acoustic version of So Much More.
Yeah.
I love Love Song, which is, where I'm experimenting a bit with doing a modern funk that just has a lighter voice, where I'm not even using my full voice. That's just me like experimenting a little bit just with, different voice color and just scaling it back because, when I do house music, I have a really big voice. So I'm learning to just take it back a little bit and try new stuff. So I'm loving Love Song, which is weird because
Right.
when I wrote it, I didn't like it. And I sent it to Andrew and I said, well, I guess we could use this, but I don't really like it. And then Andrew said, it's cool, but it's maybe not the best we've ever done. And people really love that song. And the more I hear it, the more I love it.
Yeah.
You know, so it all means something to me. And honestly, all of the people that I work with and that I do collaborations with, the people mean something to me. So that is why the projects I believe work. You know, so if you notice, I have a few collaborators that I'm very steady with. I'm very steady with Andrew Napoleon.
Yeah.
I'm steady with Vincent Kwok. And I have quite a few very, very cool collabos coming out in 2025 with some super well-known producers and a couple that are, not on the radar yet, but I think they will be on the radar. So good stuff is coming out. And it all means something to me.
Right. Yeah, I've asked that same question to a number of artists, and I remember specifically Will Downing said to me he can never choose a favorite out of his songs because they're all like babies to him.
Right, it's hard.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of if I could tell you one song that I would say, I just really don't like that song. Like it's a song that I wrote and I'm like, I don't like, but I can't.
You know what? I think that I understand why it's difficult because if you didn't like a song, you wouldn't have put it out.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And I mean,
Yeah.
and if I can't live with the song, let's say I was hired to do a song that I just really can't live with, or just doesn't fit my brand, I won't release it under my name. So there I have AKAs
Right.
that songs are released under as well. And there is one song, I always tell people about this song, but I'm not gonna I talk about this song, but I don't tell people the song. But there is one song that I did. I laugh every time I hear it. I really do. But this song is at almost 5 million streams.
Right.
It's just not under my name. You know, like it's under one of my AKAs. And it's just crazy because it's not my type of music at all. But it just is doing so well.
Wow.
But it's just not me. Yeah, it's just funny. It makes me laugh. Yeah, I'm not gonna tell you guys what that song is. You guys will never find it. You'll never find it. Maybe you will, because like you said, my voice is recognizable though.
Yeah,
Oh.
trust me, I might find it. Well, yeah, we'll see. So, tell me about, you currently live in Germany, and how does living in near Munich compare to Colorado in terms of creative inspiration and lifestyle?
As I said, I draw the inspiration just from my everyday,
Right.
everything that I'm around. And with music, honestly, I have my studio here in Munich, right on my property where we live. So I create a lot of my studio work is created right here in my studio at home. But I travel a lot, so I wouldn't say like Munich really, if, just maybe the people I run into and the things that I do out and about, just adds to my inspiration. But it's more so when I'm on the go out and about that I'm picking up stuff. So same with Denver. It's for me, like just going to LA and being in LA for a couple of weeks is like this barrage of impressions and colors and sounds and smells and all these things that are just so, it's more the new places. The
Right.
that I call home, they're nice, and there's that nostalgia there, and there's just, that warm feeling. But then maybe I don't even take in everything the way I should be taking it in because I'm just comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, is it more like a retreat kind of thing?
Yeah, let's just say that. And plus, my home here, I live on a farm. So we're out here by ourselves, and it's definitely a retreat. Sometimes it's too much of a retreat. Sometimes I'm just like, yeah, it's time to get back in the city.
And many describe your music as having a feel-good vibe. Is it important for you to create music that uplifts and inspires?
Because it's fun. It's just fun. It makes me happy. It just brings me back to good memories. It brings me back because, we talked about I have a lot of these 80s kind of neon vibes in my music, and it just brings me back to like movies like Breakin' or Flashdance or Fame, and even just the way the film looked at that time. These are the things that are like going through my mind when I'm sitting in my studio, and they just make me happy. They make me excited. So if people can feel that when they're listening to my music, amazing. That's the goal. I don't want people to not feel. I don't want people to feel bad when they're listening to my music. I mean, sometimes we have to listen to these melancholy, sad songs or whatever, but yeah, I just it's not my vibe most of the time. Right.
Cool. And you talked a bit about your collaborations and you teased us about a new project that's coming up.
Yes.
How do you go about choosing your collaborations, and what do you look for in a creative partner?
We have to get along. We have to gel. So I always have a couple of meetings with people beforehand to see if we are able to just bounce off of each other. Because I have been I get contacted daily for people to do stuff. I get hired for a lot of stuff. If I get hired for a track, it's a lot different. Because it's a work relationship. But if I do a collaboration, I really don't take a lot of collaborations because they do take time as well. So the way I choose is, does our vibe match? Do I like what you're doing? And do I feel that it's going to help me? As am I going to help you? We have to figure that out if this is beneficial for each
Both of you.
party, right? We have to make something that makes sense to me. Like just to do something, it doesn't make sense. Even if it may help me, if I don't like you, it's just not going to work.
Sure.
I have to like you. So I think that is the most important thing, and I have to like what you're doing. Yeah, it has to excite me. So if you send me an instrumental and I get excited when I hear it, we're on a good path.
That's actually good advice, and yeah, very, very sound advice, I would say. Yeah, I know you're not going to tell us much about the upcoming project, but when can we expect that?
Okay, so I don't know when you can expect what I'm really wanting to introduce you guys to, but I can tell you two things. I'll tell you maybe even more than two things, but my goal is this year I will be bringing out an R&B series. Of an underground R&B series, which will be released as an EP. And I'm working on that with Andrew Napoleon and Johnny Tobin, who is a really, really talented producer and keys player. And I'm working on something completely solo. I'm working on a solo EP. That will come out, I don't know, but I'm really excited about it because it has a lot of live instruments. It's very me. And I'm super, super, super excited about it because I'm just having a lot of musicians come on this and guest, and there's quite a bit of work going into it. And Yeah, so I'm very excited about that. So just keep your eyes and ears open there. And then sprinkle throughout the year. I have releases every single month this year. Going into 2026, I already have releases lined up for 26. It is insane. There's so much stuff coming out.
Fantastic. So, I know you were recently in London. Are there plans to come back to the UK and do some shows?
That would be cool. Or maybe around the time that this particular track that I went there, because I went there to shoot a video for a
Wow.
track coming out, I think around the summer,
Okay.
end of the summer. So I did a video in London and I had a couple of meetings while I was there. And maybe I'll come back and do some shows in the time that this song comes out. Because it would be great. It would
Yeah.
be. I love London. I love it.
Yeah, it would be fantastic.
Yes, and then we could be there in person and we could do a live.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Got a couple of fun questions to ask you.
Okay.
What's
Fun questions.
the what's the best advice you've sorry, best compliment you've ever got
Okay, the best
regarding your
compliment.
musical career?
Okay, I haven't, but maybe I've already told you this before. My best compliment that I ever received was from Questlove. Okay, and I was doing a Saul Williams show. We were opening for Saul Williams, and Questlove was playing drums for Saul Williams. This was in Denver at Cervantes Ballroom, which, by the way, super, super historical. Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, like everybody's been on that stage.
Right.
And Questlove said to me, I was with a trip hop, conscious hip hop group at the time. I was a singer for this group. He said that my voice was the color to the music that was black and white. I will never forget that.
Wow.
Because it was such a nice thing to say. Like it was just like, it was just, I don't know, it just really stayed with me.
Yeah.
Stayed with me. And I didn't even have like on my radar really at the time. Who Questlove really was. I knew that he was with the Roots.
Yeah.
I mean, Questlove is doing like all kinds of stuff everywhere now or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Was doing that at the time. But he was, out and about with the Roots and had already done a lot of stuff there. So, yeah, that was one of the nicest compliments I've ever received.
Wow. And if you were to spend a day in somebody's shoes, who might that be?
Ooh. Yeah, I don't even know who I would pick for this. It would probably be Jimmy Jam Shoes, a producer.
Yeah.
I would step into his shoes because he's been around a lot of fabulous people. He's had a lot of fabulous experiences. His road has been so trippy, and he seems so grounded that I think that he has like some sort of a magic like key to like his level. I don't know what it is, but I think it would be cool to see life through his eyes for a day.
There is one of my favorite producers.
He's fabulous, isn't he? He's good.
Yeah, well, both him and Terry.
Terry,
Yeah.
right. Well, their whole story, I mean, just them being like their journey with Prince, and they were with
Yeah.
Alexander O'Neal, and just the craziness, everything that they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Janet. Yeah, and I mean, I love everything that they did for Janet.
It's just amazing what they've done for a lot of people. Yeah, I mean, I think they got Janet up there,
Yes.
and I would say they launched their career. And
Oh
wow,
yeah, 100%.
yeah.
100% when they came in and they did that first album for her, and they just helped her fly, which maybe she would be the second shoes I would, because I love Janet. I just love Janet's vibe. I do. I love her style. I love her vibe, and yeah.
Cool. And one last question. What's the worst piece of advice you've ever received?
The worst piece? Okay. I don't even know if this is advice, but I'm going to say this. If somebody tries to throw you off your path, don't listen to them. You have to follow your gut, and that's how you make your decisions. Because I've had people that, when I look back at it now, I feel that they would say things to me just to get into my head to maybe discourage me. Because sometimes people just don't want you to move forward because that means they either have to move forward or you are a reminder that they are not moving. Okay. And so anything like that is always the worst advice. So stay away from hater advice. That's what I'm going to say. Don't have other people just step on your dreams because they don't have the courage to dream themselves.
Fantastic. My next question was actually going to be, what advice would you have for emerging artists? I think that will suffice as good advice for them.
Yeah, that before, don't let people, take away what you want for yourself, You have to decide how you're going to get there and what you're going to do and what you're willing to do to get. But I think if I had to give advice, be who you are. Don't imitate other people. Find out who you are because that's what people want. People don't want an imitation of someone because this person already exists. Pull from people, be inspired, but figure out who the hell you are because that is going to bring you authentic fans, people that want to hear and see more of what you are doing. And then it's easy to keep that up. You can keep something like that up. If you are just pretending to be someone, eventually you're going to have to let that mask fall and everybody will be like, who are you? And then you start all over again. So save yourself some time and just be who you are because the people will appreciate you more.
That's really profound. Great advice. Our final question tonight is, when people look back at your body of work, how would you like to be remembered as an artist and a person?
Exactly what I just said here, as an authentic artist that was just doing what she felt she needed to do to make her mark in the world. And I hope that I'm able to just mark some people's moments. Let's say that, because I think music just marks these moments that we have. And it brings you back. I just wrote a song the other day that kind of talks about that. And, it's called Mixtapes and Broken Hearts. Right, but that won't probably come out until like the end of the year. But it's kind of like the mixtape we put, I don't know if you ever made mixtapes, but you put all your feelings on this tape and you're trying to send like subliminal messages to people and you go through this whole journey of like,
That's how we used to get girls.
Right. And you have these happy mixtapes, or you have these sad mixtapes, or you have these apology mixtapes, or whatever. And you just kind of like, you play them out and then they end, and then you rewind it back and you start all over again, So mixtapes and broken hearts. And yeah, I feel that hopefully I'm on a lot of mixtapes. That is what I wish.
Amazing. Thank you for taking time to chat to us. But before you go, is there a song that you've done that you would like us to play for the listeners?
Oh, I would really love for you to play the acoustic version of So Much More. I feel people need to hear it. I love it. It's just so pure.
I remember the time you sent that to me. I think it stayed on my playlist for close to 3 months.
Okay, cool.
And yeah, and I used to get really good feedback on that. So yeah, be happy to play that again.
Thank you so much. Thank
And
you.
thank you for taking time to chat to us.
Not a problem. I love being here.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
So much more, so much more. I wanna kick back.